Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Giants are world champions.
Welcome to the Giants Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco Giants Insider, Alex Pavlovich.
All right, it is the third edition of the Emergency Podcast. First of all, shout out to all the people now who, whenever something happens, their first response is, "When's the Emergency Pod going to be?" So this is our franchise now. Alex here, Ahmed Farid. We both have fresh haircuts. We're ready for spring training.
We do. We didn't look enough alike already, and so now we both
neither
have the
one
same
of us
hair.
Is shaven, too. So if people saw us sitting here right now, it'd be very confusing.
I don't know who I am.
This is the Austin Jackson Emergency Podcast. Yeah. Not quite Longoria or McCutcheon, but still a nice piece, and now a very interesting piece because, you know, last night we see the deal come across. John Heyman reported it first. You go, that makes perfect sense. A center fielder, he fits under the tax. It's not Gerard Dyson. It's not Kane, but it's a nice piece. Certainly, you know, the defensive metrics on him are not very good, but when you look at where they came from, with Denard Span, and really, I go back before that, Angel Pagan, like, you go, okay, this is at least somebody who you can throw out there as serviceable. Yeah. And then today, we talked to Brian Sabian, Bobby Evans, Bruce Bochy, did a conference call, which I found fascinating because Bruce Bochy was talking about Austin Jackson like he's his center fielder. Brian Sabian, and I'll read the quote here, he said, "Did we get him to be our everyday center fielder? Probably not." So Austin Jackson, a guy who I think we'll see a lot of time in center, but also appears to be a fourth outfielder right now, which means they're still searching.
So I'm confused. And that's, I mean, yeah, when me I too. Really did, I tweeted earlier this morning, I'm confused, Alex. I need an emergency podcast to help sort it out because, yeah, it totally made sense, right? Yeah, right. Austin Jackson crushes lefties, at least he did last year, and he can be the platoon with Steven Duggar when he comes up. But then to hear that he's not the answer and that they want to... Here's the problem I'm having with it, is that anyone you get who's going to be cost-controlled or...
Which is just what they said. It has to be a pre-arbitration player, somebody who's making $550,000,
$600,000. So then is he blocking Steven Duggar for 3 years? Or, you know, it just doesn't quite make sense to me. Because if it's a guy like, you know, a name that's been thrown out there... Keon Broxton from Milwaukee. I mean, he's like a fourth outfielder guy. Better defensively than Austin Jackson, but offensively, no. And he's 27 years old. It's not like he's young either. And so it kind of gives you another fourth, fifth outfielder. And if you're going to go that route, you might as well just play Gorky's Hernandez and not give up anyone. So it really doesn't make sense to me how big of another name, another move they can make in center field.
So I have multiple concerns now after I felt good about this move last night because it felt like part of a bigger picture, and it still is, I think. But when I thought about it this morning, and then you hear what they said today and you hear what their plan is, assuming they're being truthful with us, my concern is twofold. One, which you just said about Duggar is in the mix. Then if Austin Jackson's going to be your fourth outfielder and you spent that money on him, and it's $6 million, could be 8.5, is the difference between him as a fourth outfielder and Austin Slater as a fourth outfielder significant? I don't know if it's that big a difference when you look at Slater is a guy who's going to be making the minimum for a couple more years. And then another issue I have, and we've talked about this on previous emergency pods, is if you are trading for a Keon Broxton or whoever it is, you're trading for somebody who you feel is better than Jackson and Duggar in center field to start the year. Whatever you trade, wouldn't you rather trade that for a relief pitcher? That's what I would do. I still think this team needs pitching. They feel differently. They said, as we talked about last week, you know, Bobby said, we like the young guys. We feel like we have guys internally. I feel like they need another reliever. So that, to me, is a little weird. If they are going to use more resources and trade, and I don't, you know, they're not going to trade Ramos or they're not going to go from the top of their list. But even if you're trading your seventh best prospect, wouldn't you try to see if you could get a reliever?
I mean, I would, or a back end, some guy starter, or use that, you know, money. If you don't really see Austin Jackson as your center fielder, use that money to get a starter and then just play with the guys you have. I wonder if part of it could be, you know, them dancing around the issue. Maybe they don't see him as a center fielder. Maybe they see Duggar in that spot within a month or two.
Just don't want to put the pressure on him.
Maybe. Yeah, that. And maybe they see Austin as a left fielder. You know, maybe they see
so that that's the other
the end coming sooner rather than later for Hunter Pence in left field. And so maybe that's why when Bruce Bochy says he's my center fielder, yeah, day one, but maybe Brian Sabian has a longer view of it and is like, well, eventually he's going to be the left fielder.
Well, this is where I go back to, I guess, and it's not just my knowledge of covering Bochy, it's anybody who has seen him play. But I, just being in there and knowing the way he interacts with players, and I asked him a question today. I said, you guys in the press release listed Austin Jackson as a versatile player, as a guy who can play all three positions. And, you know, McCutcheon's going to be the everyday right fielder. So are you trying to tell us something about Hunter Pence? And I do feel like maybe they are. But I also know Bruce Bochy, and I know that he is going to play Hunter Pence. That he likes Hunter. He likes the energy he brings. I think, you know, Hunter is very respected in that clubhouse. And to sit him for long stretches, I mean, they're not going to play him 162 games like they did in the past, or 155, or what have you. But I think to make this move with the assumption that Hunter's going to play 90 games or 100 games, to me, it just seems unrealistic.
Let me throw something at you here, and we haven't really talked about this before, but, you know, Bruce Bochy has a lot of clout, as he should, as a yes. manager who's going to be a Hall of Fame manager, you know, three World Series titles. I mean, he's getting in to the Hall of Fame as a manager. There's no question about that. And so I think, for the most part, he can do what he wants to do. But you are coming into a year where the entire coaching staff was basically just reshuffled. Some coaches not retained. Longtime pitching coach Dave Rigetti now in the
Which
front office.
Which was not on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was done for him.
All around him. Yeah, correct. It wasn't his call. It was done to the staff, not per Bruce Bochy. You wonder if the dynamic has shifted at all, even just a little bit, on maybe in years past, Bruce Bochy's going to do what Bruce Bochy's going to do. I don't know. Maybe there's a message that got sent in the offseason last year that, you know, Bruce, we love what you've done, but even you're not above it all right now because this team lost 98 games last year, and we need to just make sure that we're all getting our voices heard. And so if the front office, maybe in years past, didn't have the pull with Bruce Bochy to say, hey, we need you to play this guy here. I don't know. Maybe they have a little bit more this year. I don't know if you have any insights
That's
on that.
A good point, and I think everybody feels pressure right now, and that probably plays into it. I will say there were points where I talked to people last year, and I said, do you guys agree with the lineup Bochy is running out there? And there was some disagreement from the front office, and they did want to see different guys at some points. But ultimately, I think you have this guy here, and you trust him to do what he's going to do on a daily basis. And he's also the one who's in the clubhouse and has to explain to people why they're playing or why they're not playing veterans, guys who might be in contract years, or young guys, whatever. So I think it ultimately usually comes down to him. I have not heard anything. I mean, we've heard a lot of whispers about things here and there. I've not heard anything this year about him being given. I know they always give him lineup choices. Ultimately, last I heard, it's still completely up to him to put the group out there. So I do think, and there's a piece that just posted on our website, and we'll get to this right now. I was asked to project their lineup, and I, you know, as much as we want to talk about young players or whoever else they might bring in, I know Bruce Bochy. He's going to play Austin Jackson center field, and he probably should right now because he's the best center fielder on his roster. So he's going to go with those guys. He's going to play Hunter Pence a lot. That's what he does. He right. wants an everyday lineup. He wants these guys. So I think,
and if Hunter plays like he did at the end of the year, then it's not a point. It's not a problem, you know, because he showed that he's still got something at the
and
end of the year.
If he's not your four hitter, if he's right, you know, he could be a leadoff option. We've talked about him being interesting there, but if he's, I have him sixth.
So I'm curious to hear your lineup.
If he's there, it's much better, I think.
Interesting. Yeah.
So at the one I projected, and it's difficult right now because I think Andrew McCutcheon should probably hit second. I love that number two spot. It is shown that that's where your best hitter should hit. And I don't know who's the best hitter on this team. You can make the argument for Belt, for Posey, for McCutcheon, maybe Longoria in some circumstances. But it feels like he'd be really good right there in front of Posey. But then you look at them being really right-handed in the heart of the lineup. So what I went with was McCutcheon hitting leadoff, which he hasn't really done since 2011.
Mm.
but he's also been a number three hitter and hasn't had a Buster Posey on his team or a Longoria. And then Joe Panik, our classic number two.
Prototypical.
Lefty. And then Longoria, because the one thing we had heard from Bruce Bochy this offseason was after the Longoria deal, he said he would like to go Longoria, Posey, Belt in the heart of his lineup. And I think McCutchen changes that a little bit, but you also need guys at the top, whether it's first or second, and McCutchen makes more sense than the other three. So I have McCutchen, Panik, Longoria, Posey, Belt, Hunter Pence, Brandon Crawford hitting seventh, Jackson hitting eighth, which was another thing that came up today, and then Bumgarner providing the power, hitting ninth on opening day.
You could move Bumgarner. You could move him up to four. Yeah. You can move him up to four if you saw a need. Yeah, I'm curious. Did Bruce say anything about leading off Jackson, or is that
he said he's capable of doing it? It's an option. He said he likes the versatility he provides. It is, you know, against a tough lefty. I mean, yeah, I think we'll see that quite a bit. But just in terms of when you look at opening day, and they will face a lefty in Clayton Kershaw, so maybe he'll be up there. But
So I mean, I've just put out on Twitter this whole offseason. I mean, I've been pushing Joe Panik as a leadoff guy, just mainly because I like it now.
Guy.
So
mostly because Joe walks in and sees his name at leadoff, and he gets very excited.
Yeah,
starts making Ricky Henderson jokes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I'd like to hear that. Well, I don't know if I've ever heard Joe tell a joke. A couple jokes maybe here and there. So I go Joe leadoff, McCutchen two, Posey three, four Belt just to kind of break up the lefty-righty deal, Longoria five, Crawford six, Hunter or Austin Jackson seven and or eight, and then pitcher nine. You know, we talk about every time with Belt, and you put him at four, and people get on you about that. But I mean, the biggest complaint that a lot of people have against Brandon Belt, he's not your number four or number five because he doesn't drive in people. He takes a walk. Well, if that's the case, he shouldn't be lower. He should be higher in the order. You know, put him two, or to get on before McCutchen and Longoria. But yeah, I think it'll be cool to see what Bruce does because they have a lot of options there. And it will change. It'll change throughout the year, but you've got options. And I'll be honest with you, like looking at the lineup, and I get it, right? Longoria's what, 32, McCutchen's 31. It's a good look. The lineup looks sweet, right? You look at the lineup with the names, it looks good, and it's not like any of the guys that they just got are 35.
When you look at last year's lineups that were used most often, and first of all, the lineup they used most often last year got used six times. So this is all going to change. They used 136 different lineups last year. So it's all going to change. But yeah, it's a much different lineup. I also just realized something as you were sitting there and realized that we're talking about opening day lineup. That's what you always talk about.
Yeah.
And on opening day, they're probably going to face Clayton Kershaw.
Right, I know.
Which means Brandon Belt should probably be hitting ninth because he's like one for 50 against him or something like that.
Yeah.
So these things will...
Who knows? Nick Hundley might get the start. Over.
Yeah. Maybe he'll bring Brett Pill back. So the Kershaw, you'll throw the bomb squad out against him.
I know.
I think if you're talking about just a generic opening day lineup and you say, this is what we're going with, that's what I would do.
Yeah. Can't go too wrong with it. Can't go too wrong. And there's going to be, I mean, they switched it up last year. I mean, we did see, you know, Pence up and down the order lead off. And I think we did see Panik at some point last year in the lead off spot. And so we'll get to see whatever your favorite lineup is. We'll get to see it at some point.
So, you know, I like the Twitter questions
and
the Facebook questions. We'll get to a couple of them here. At Macaulay 2 asks, can they still squeeze out enough cash to sign another reliever? They are right up against the tax, like right up against it. Bobby Evans said today that they have enough that if they need to make a move on a minor league deal, if something makes sense, they can do that. I think there are ways they can finesse this a little bit, which they did with the Jackson deal. You see the incentives in year two and all that. So, yeah, if somebody is out there in a couple weeks looking for that 1.5 non-guaranteed, I think they can do that. I think they should do that. I still have concerns about the bullpen. And I feel like if you feel like you're going to be a good team you're looking at 2 years of a really bad bullpen, and I believe that these guys are going to come back healthy. I believe some of them are going to be better, but you still have to be realistic and say this is 2 years of the same issues, and we haven't done anything to address them, aside from hope that guys get healthy.
Yeah, some of you on Twitter, you know, tweeted at me and talked about Dyson being a guy that you could move that would free up, what, $4.5 million, something like that.
A Billy Hamilton-sized chunk of it.
Yeah, so, I mean, they do have some... some options there. But then you're, like you just said, that the one of the weakest units.
Then you need a setup guy.
Then you need, you've lost Crick, and now you've lost Dyson to a unit that wasn't, you know, knocking the barn doors off anyway. And so I think that's a mistake to do. But, yeah, so there's just not – I don't see how they can free up salary at this point to make a significant move outside of just the minor league kind of deal.
Yeah, so and they did say today, I mean, they'll never rule themselves out on anything, but we did – finally went as far as they would go to say, look, we're done with these big names. Stop throwing us in those rumors, pretty much. The other question from Kenny Kelly. He asked me a lot of questions, I think. So shout out to Kenny.
Nice.
Any chance – this is a question a lot of people have asked me. Any chance we check on Blanco? I love Gregor Blanco, one of the nicest people I've ever met legitimately, like not just in baseball but in general. Just a really good guy. Was a great clubhouse guy. I, you know, to me at this point it's like you have your three veterans who are set. We know – Duggar's coming. We know Slater is going to be in the mix. Look, Jarrett Parker and Mack Williamson are still on the 40-man roster. One of them might make the team. Gorky's Hernandez still on the 40-man roster. To me, it just feels like you, regardless of whether they add somebody else, like they're set in terms of guys who are backup outfielders.
Right. You're just dealing along the margins at that point. Yeah. You know, it just seems like you have that, and that'd be redundant at that point. I loved covering Gregor, too, and there were always those off seasons where the whispers are, you know, hey, maybe he'll get a little bit more time. But he really was perfect for his role, and I know Tim Flannery talks about it all the time because he says he was like this a lot. You know, a utility guy, not really an everyday guy, would break down if you play, you know, 2 weeks straight.
And Gregor would tell you.
Yeah, yeah. But when you get your chance and when you have those spots, you came through. I mean, Gregor played in some of the biggest games in San Francisco Giants franchise
history.
He started
pretty much every postseason. Exactly. Every year something would happen where he was starting.
Right.
Yeah, he was interesting because he would, you know, I guess in podcasts I should just tell stories about guys who aren't here anymore.
But yeah.
Gregor was funny because he would start for somebody. You know, Angel would get hurt because Angel always got hurt or something would happen. Melky got suspended. And you think everybody always wants to be like, I'm ready to go every day. And he would. He always wanted that shot. But he would always kind of admit to you after a couple weeks, he would be like, it's a grind. Like, I'm a little bit tired, and the numbers would tail off. He was very honest about the fact that it is, when you're used to being a reserve, it was hard to go in there and play every single day. So he was perfect for that role. Good Giant. He will be back for all the reunions and at some point.
Yeah, but I don't know that all the names we just mentioned there of all the young outfielders they have will be back next year. You know, I mean, it's just depending on what happens.
Yeah, I mean, there's some options. Games coming up. Parker's out of options, so I think there are other shoes to drop with this 40-man roster, especially in the outfield. I do want to, before we end, give a shout-out to my dude John Shea of the Chronicle, because we're on this conference call today, and he asked a question that was my favorite moment of the offseason, because he said, you guys started the offseason by saying you want to get younger and more athletic, and then listed the guys that they have traded for or signed. And I think his exact wording at the end was, so how does that work? Just, you want to get younger, you want to get more athletic. You so far have added three significant pieces who are in their 30s.
Yeah.
And we've talked a lot about that. So it is going to be, you know, I think this is going to be a camp which is coming up where a lot of guys are getting rest time. A lot of guys are getting the day off in the middle of the week. Something to watch during the season, certainly.
Well, and you got two guys in the bullpen coming back off injury with Will Smith and Mark Melanson, who that's a that'll be something to watch in spring. What was their answer when he said, what's the deal with that?
I don't think Sabian was thrilled with the question. He basically said, you know, nobody really knows what young is, I guess, was what they said. And that with all the advances, with the off days this year, they do have more off days built in through the collective bargaining agreement. I think it's four more days. They have 25 now. So they're talking about that a lot. They feel like they can keep guys healthier. Certainly, two of the guys they've added, McCutchen and Longoria, have been Ironmen. They play all the time. So that is fair. I think, as we've talked about, you look at the grand scheme of things and the entire lineup, and Brandon Belt's turning 30 soon. And, yeah, this is going to be, I think, the oldest probably everyday team in the majors.
Which they were pretty old in 2010 when they won the whole thing. So but it wasn't like they were favorites necessarily in 2010. But, you know, and it's interesting. I just read a Fangraph story on age, and they did a real detailed breakdown on war and, you know, all it was great. It was really well done. I don't remember who did it exactly. But basically what they found is, at least last year, is that players who were 30, 31 would have just as good a years as players who were 26, 27, 28. And so you really didn't see that big tail off until you got to 34. You know, 34, you know, 33, you started to see it. 34, you really saw it. So I think that's good news. It's good news for the Giants, and you know, maybe not great news for Longoria, who's 32 right now, and you got him for a few more years. But
it's not great news for 2020, 2019.
No, which you've always been saying. You know, it wasn't going to be great. No matter what they did this offseason, 2019 and 20 wasn't going to be great.
There's a train coming, and it's going to hit the Giants straight on.
So I don't think 30 and 31 and even 32 is really old. You know, I don't think that they got old there. I think that they could have as good years. I think Longoria is going to have a better year at 32 than he did probably at 31. I think he'll probably bounce back even with a change of venue and change of ballpark. So age, not even this year, I don't even think is that big of a deal.
I'm 32 and I feel like I'm in the prime of my life. So I'm not going to complain too much.
I'm 38 and I don't feel very good anymore. Yeah.
So this team, when they're 38, they're going to be in trouble. But that is the third emergency podcast. Again, thank you so much to everybody who asked for these whenever something happens. It's cool to see that it's become kind of a thing that people want to listen to after a trade and digest everything. I haven't said it for a while, so if you haven't subscribed on iTunes, that helps us a lot if you subscribe wherever you listen and you just get those automatically. And we have big podcast plans for spring training, which is starting soon. So, you know, if you're a subscriber, you will get those right as they go up and you'll be ready to go and keep up with everything. So for now, me and Ahmed talking about Austin Jackson, the emergency pod. We'll see if we have one more of these before I report down to Scott's.
Got to be something minor. Something minor to talk about.
Something will happen. Yeah. There's got to be a threshold at some point where you don't do the emergency pod, but we'll see if we can find it. All right, thanks for listening, everybody.
It is out of here in the center field, and this game is over.
Got him.
The Giants are world champions.
The Giants Insider Podcast on CSNBayArea.com.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.